Father, we come into this house this morning to thank you and to praise your awesome name. We are so grateful for the love and the kindness, the goodness and mercy that you shower upon us. And Father, we gather in this place not only to thank you and praise you, but also, Lord, to be encouraged by you. And Lord, you know the struggle that each brings here today. And Lord, there is no human being that can meet the needs of everyone in this room but you. You are the only one. And so, Lord, we do ask for the rain to be poured out in here today, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Not only to prepare us for the second coming, Lord, but also to prepare us for the battles of today and then again tomorrow. And so, Lord, I pray that as only you can do, speak to every heart. We ask for that precious blood to cleanse us of our sin, that there be nothing between us. We ask, dear Lord, that your mighty angels will present a ring of fire around this sanctuary, that the prince of darkness will be kept away. Fill this room now with your Spirit, and hide the humble instrument behind the cross, and let us hear your words. We thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In a book entitled A Home Forum Reader, the author of that book shares an incident that took place in his life that had a profound effect upon him. He was working out in the woods, out in the mountains, clearing brush. And after several hours of very hard, back-breaking work, he decided to take a lunch break and to rest a little bit. And so he found a log, and he sat down, and he took out his sandwich and began to eat it. And as he did, he was just drinking in the beautiful scene, the scenery that surrounded him. He was looking and listening to the stream that was rushing by. He was looking at the beautiful woods and the birds that inhabited it. And as he was drinking all this in, his contemplation was interrupted by a persistent, annoying bee. It began buzzing all around him, threatening with his stinger. So at first the man began to wave the bee off, and you know how successful that can be. And the bee just seemed to get more intense, and so finally he succeeded in knocking the bee to the ground, and he got up off his stump that he was sitting on, and he stepped on the bee and continued to eat. And he looked down. To his amazement, the bee crawled out of the sand that he had been squished into and renewed his attack on the man. So he continued waving at the bee and trying to shoo him away, and he swatted him to the ground again. And this time, he got up and he brought to bear his 210 pounds as he grounded the bee into the sand, and he sat down to enjoy his sandwich. Well, after a while, some time passed, and some movement out of the corner of his eye caught his attention, and he looked to his feet, and he saw little flicks of sand starting to move. And he couldn't believe it, and so he put his sandwich down, and he got on his knees, and he looked closely, and there, to his amazement, the bee was dragging itself back into the land of the living. And what's so amazing about this story is that the persistence of this bee brought this 210-pound man to his knees. Well, this morning, we are going to continue our talk on prayer. We're going to be looking at a parable that Jesus gave, a parable on persistence. A couple of Sabbaths ago, we took a look at the Lord's Prayer. And in it, we found that Jesus sought to teach his disciples the important elements that are found within prayer. And in the parable that follows the Lord's Prayer, Jesus seeks to illustrate to his disciples the lesson that he desired to teach them regarding persistence. Not quitting. Let's take a look at that parable, the parable on persistence, found in Luke chapter 11. We have it for you up here. I encourage you to open your Bibles as well. Luke chapter 11, we're going to read verses 5 through 8, and look at a parable on persistence. Beginning with verse 5, and it says this, "Then he, Jesus, said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his," what? "Persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Now, to really appreciate this parable, we got to kind of set the scene here. The average Palestinian home was a one-room affair, with the door on one end, and the valuables and the food would be located on the other end of the room, furthest from the door. And at night, when the family would sleep, they would sleep on pallets on the floor, kind of like sardines, side by side, with Dad being by the door for protection. And so when this man comes and he asks for bread to give to his friends who have come traveling, he is basically asking this father to crawl across his family to get to the food to give to this neighbor, which would have woken up everyone at midnight. Now, it would take a very good friend to be willing to do that, or it would take a very persistent neighbor to make a father get up and wake up his whole family to give him bread. And brothers and sisters, this is the scene that Jesus uses to illustrate the importance of perseverance in prayer. Now, this parable brings to light 3 critical points that we're going to be looking at in persevering in prayer. The first is the principle of persevering in prayer. The second thing we're going to look at is the promise of persevering in prayer. And the third we're going to look at is the need for persevering in prayer. These 3 things. Well, let's take a look at the first, which is the principle of persevering. And that is found in Luke 11, 9 through 10, which says this, "So I say to you, ask and it will be" what? "To you. Seek and you will" what? "Knock and it shall be" what? "Open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be" what? "Open." Brothers and sisters, the message of these verses is clear. And it is this: ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Simply put, if you don't ask, you don't receive. But we can go further and say that the principle that God is trying to tell us is simply this: don't quit. Don't give up. Keep persisting. And this story is well illustrated in the story of the Canaanite woman whose daughter was demon-possessed. Here is a woman who went to the temples of her day, went to the gods of her day, went to the physicians of her day, and no one can help her. She was a Canaanite woman. She wasn't an Israelite. But the stories of Jesus and what Jesus was doing comes to her, and faith begins to well up in this woman's heart. And so one day she finds out that Jesus, the same Jesus, is in her community, and she gets excited because finally there's hope. And so what does she do? She goes and seeks for Jesus. And she finds him, and she goes to him, and she says, "Lord, please help me. My daughter has been demon-possessed. Will you please help?" And what does Jesus do? He ignores her. You ever been there? She is ignored. But she doesn't give up. Why? Because Jesus is her only what? Hope. And so she persists. And she keeps asking. And Jesus keeps ignoring. Now, of course, Jesus wasn't trying to ignore her. He was drawing out her faith. Not only that, there's a lesson he was wanting to teach his disciples, that the gospel goes to everyone. And so Jesus ignores. So finally the woman continues to persist, and then Jesus, the disciples at this point, are of course getting annoyed. And so Jesus turns to her and basically says, look, it is not good that bread that should go to the children be given to dogs. And so now, not only was he ignoring her, now he called her a dog. But the woman recognized her opportunity and says, that is true, Lord, but even dogs get fed the scraps that are fed to the children. And so the Lord Jesus, drawing out her faith, succeeded in doing so, granted a request. But I want to share with you this incredible quote that to me is so beautiful in Desire of Ages, page 403. It says this, against what? Discouragement. Regardless of appearances that might have led her to do what? She trusted in the Savior's what? Love. And she pressed it. Friends, there are times we feel forgotten. Isn't that right? Sharing our prayers and we don't see an answer. Let's remember this woman and her persistence. She did not give up. She did not quit. She persisted. You see, the parable that Jesus gave here to the disciples about this friend asking for bread in the middle of the night asks an important question to us. It gives a comparison contrast about this man who didn't want to answer, but yet he does because of his annoying neighbor. We need to gain hope in realizing that God isn't bothered by our asking. God wants to ask, wants us to ask. He wants to answer our requests. And this Canaanite woman gives us the key because she honed in on the character of God, which is what? It is love. God wants to answer. He wants to. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we find this text. Pray without what? We're not to give up. No matter the fact that maybe when we pray, God doesn't seem to be answering, God is listening. God is hearing. And God is worrying, is working. Don't give up. And the reason being is because there is a promise for those who don't. And that opens to us the second part, the promise of persevering in prayer. Matthew 7, 9 through 11 gives us this beautiful text. It says, or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will give him a what? You know, what imagery here? What parent would do that? God is here bringing out His character for us to see. Or if He asks for a fish, we'll give Him a what? And then Jesus says this, if you then being evil, which is our carnal nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who do what? Who ask? My friends, we can come to before our heavenly Father with our heartfelt requests. Are there troubles in your life this morning? I know the answer is yes. I know it's yes. I just know a small smidgen of the struggles that you face. The answer is yes. Are you in need of direction in your life? Is your child in danger? Are you seeking to reach someone through witnessing? Are you struggling with your health this morning or loneliness? Brothers and sisters, Jesus is bidding each today to come with Him with your requests. Every single one. Only don't quit. Don't give up. Persist. Keep praying. You know, in my home, God has a way of teaching us things in nature. And in my house, many of you have been to my house, and you'll know that where I park my vehicles, I have this graveled area. Actually, it's like big rocks that you can park your car. And that's pretty to look at when the grass and the weeds aren't growing through it, which is a real annoyance to me. Talk about persistence. And so I get this, you know, plant killer, Agent Orange, I don't know what it is. And I'm out there and I'm spraying. It mustn't be because it comes back. And that's the routine. And then I weed whack it and it still comes back. And well, this winter, someone stopped by my house with a deal for real of laying asphalt down on that where I park my cars. And my wife said, hey, you know, that'd be really good because the kids can then play basketball. And I said, yeah, that's the reason why we should do it. Of course, I was thinking about all that grass that I wouldn't have to do battle with. And so we went ahead and bought the asphalt and we put it down and it looked really pretty. Goodbye, weeds. And anyway, spring came. And I began to notice these little welts. Have you ever seen this stuff laid down? It's really hot. And they lay it down thick. And then they get this contraption. They squish it. You know? Down, compact it to like an inch. And so anyway, I was kind of wondering what these welts were. And the days passed. And I was busy at work. And I came by one day. And I noticed the welts were getting bigger. And a few days later, I looked. And I saw a blade of grass shooting through. And of course, my first reaction was that. Oh my. I was not a happy camper. But then I was amazed by the lesson in this. Please think about it. Here was this grass pressed down with this thick black asphalt, then squashed by the steamroller. But it didn't give up. This little blade, delicate blade of grass, pressed against all of that, against that thick blackness, and it broke through to the blue sky beyond and that fresh air. And you know, brothers and sisters, you may be feeling like that grass this morning, pressed down by the trials of life and weighed down by the thick blackness of discouragement. Brothers and sisters, there is a blue sky beyond and a Savior that cares. Don't give up. Persist and fight through it. Your efforts will be rewarded. And you know, I think about many of you after the sermon of last Sabbath shared your struggles with wayward children. Don't give up. I share with you my mother who would, and she is like the poster child of prayer warriors who refused to give up, who wouldn't quit and persisted, and is watching as her efforts are being rewarded. Why? Because there is a promise to the parent who will not give up and quit. And it's found in Jeremiah 31, verse 16 and 17. And it says this, "Thus says the Lord." Pay attention when you hear those words. "Refrain your voice from weeping, your eyes from tears. For your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border." Don't give up. Don't quit. Our promises. And whatever it is we're facing in life, there is no problem in life that is not addressed in Scripture. And there are promises there for each one of us to cling to. But we must claim them. And we must not quit. We must not give up. We must persist. We must keep praying. But you know, brothers and sisters, as we think about this, we must remember that there are things that hinder prayer. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked about one. And that has to do with the conditions that we find in prayer, and that's the conditions of obedience. If we are willingly, knowingly, breaking God's law, and then while in the state of rebellion, ask God to bless us, it is an insult to God. We must not. And I shared the text with you. Now repeat that. Found in Isaiah 59:2 that says, "But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear." And so if we're praying and things aren't being answered, we need to look here and make sure that there isn't rebellion, conscious rebellion. The second thing that we must remember is that we must be honest towards God. It's amazing that a matter that is often neglected is one of honesty with God. You know, we think about the words of the prophet Malachi, who said these words, following in Malachi 3, 7, and 8. He said, "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you have said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." You know, brothers and sisters, if maybe our prayers are being answered, let's look in this area. Are we returning an honest tithe to God? I want to share something with you that happened when Dr. Dupre was here. He was mentioning an incident that happened in his life, how he put a new spin on increase. You remember he shared the story of his honeymoon, how people gave all these gifts, and that's an increase. And so he tithed his increase. And I never thought of gifts that way. And I share with you the story how I went to California, and they paid for my trip, and they paid for my rental car. Is that an increase? I didn't have to pay for it. So Phil and I talked about it. So we decided to tithe that offering on that. Anyway, when we got to California, got everything lined up, things were going well. I ended up spending more money than I thought I would. God was giving me opportunities to witness to people, and that was costing money. And so I was spending it. And now I thought about later how I was going to explain that to my wife. But anyway. And so I went to the office there at the school to finish up the last things, get things lined up. And the secretary came to me. She's talking to me. She says, by the way, I want to give you something. And I said, sure. And she gave me an envelope. And I said, oh, thank you. It was a check. Is God faithful? It was a check. By the way, we tithe that too. It was a check. And it covered the money I was spending out there. Friends, God is faithful. Let's remember that if our prayers are being answered, let's look here. Let's make sure we're being faithful to God. Of course, tithe belongs to God. Offering is our thanks. We decide how much that is. Very important. But I want to share a third thing that often hinders prayer. And that has to do with our relationships at home. And so, husbands, I want to ask you a question. How are we treating our wives? How are we treating them? You know, the Bible has something to say about that. In 1 Peter 3:7, we find these words. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, referring to our wives, with what? You know, sometimes we joke, huh, fellas, that we have a hard time understanding our wives. And there's truth in that. But we still must try. Isn't that right? And there's nothing wrong with being nice, even if we don't understand. Dwell with them with understanding, giving what? Oh, there's three of you that are answering. There's got to be more. Let's try that again. Giving what to your wives? All right. As to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be what? Hey, isn't that something? You know, confession is good for the soul. This week, I needed to think about this text. Every once in a while I run into one of you Hispanic brethren, and it's so funny because every time I run into my Hispanic friends, they say, you know, Cubans and whatever, Puerto Ricans or Cubans and Chileans, whatever, we're like this. And I go, really? They go, yeah. And I said, well, why don't you send some recipes my way or bring me some some Latin food, because I miss that. And anyway, there's a Cuban restaurant in Asheville. Anybody know that? And I was so excited. I can taste the tostones and the fried bananas. And so I told my family, let's go up there. And so we got in the car, and I noticed my wife wasn't nearly as enthusiastic as I was. And other ways, you know, she kept explaining, you know, George, you know, there's stuff in Asheville I really don't want to expose the kids to. You know, Asheville has the nickname Little San Francisco, and it's not because they have a bridge. And so my wife felt that we had no business going over there with our small kids because, you know, they might see stuff that they don't need to be looking at downtown. Of course, I was thinking of was the fried bananas and the rice and everything else. And so as we got closer and I saw that she was getting more discouraged, I figured it would probably be a good idea if I just went back home. And I was not a happy camper because I missed my food. And so during the week, the Lord was really working on my heart, and it was like the Lord was saying, what is wrong with you? Your wife is right. Your wife is right. And later I said to my wife and to God, I am so sorry for being so selfish. And you know, it's interesting that when I am not happy with my wife, I have a hard time praying. Has any of the fellas noticed this? There's about one of you. Listen, one of you is honest. Either that or the rest of you aren't praying. But it's true. It is true. And friends, we cannot afford to have our prayers hindered. We can't afford that. And so it's important, dear friends, my brothers in Christ, that we make sure that we do treat our wives with honor. And wives, we know that that street has arrows going both ways. And we need to show love and respect and extend forgiveness towards one another that our prayers are not hindered. Very important. But let's go on to our third point in persevering in prayer, and that has to do in the area of need. Why should we persevere in prayer? Why aren't our prayers answered right away? And you know, and as a new Christian, this really bugged me. And sometimes, as an older Christian, it still does. There are reasons why our prayers are not answered right away. There are reasons. And I'm not going to exhaust all the reasons, but I am going to touch on three major ones right now. The first reason why our prayers are not answered right away is because God is trying to enlighten us on something. In the parable of the petitioner was again and again rejected. But he did not what? Give up. So our prayers do not always seem to receive an immediate answer, but we should not give up. Prayer is not so much a matter of persuading God to accept our will concerning a matter as of our discovering His will in respect to it. God knows what is best for us. We don't. We are often but dimly conscious of what really are our needs. And often we ask for things that would ultimately be harmful to us. Prayer will bring our wills and lives into harmony with that of God. It is the divinely appointed means of educating our desires, not to work a change in God, but to work a change in us. When we first moved to North Carolina, Swella and I were newlyweds. We moved to Wilmington on the coast. We had big dreams. Swellen already had a job as an occupational therapist, and Wilmington at the time was really growing. Every time you open a newspaper, all these signs of people looking for work. So I had big dreams of getting a good-paying job where I had the opportunity of advancement and make good money, and we were going to live there, and that was going to be our home till the second coming. Of course, God had other plans. But these were our plans. And so I went out, and I sent my resume everywhere. I hit the pavement. Yeah, talk about like the leaves of autumn. Where's Brother Walter? Yeah, that's what I did with my resume. I was hitting the pavement, knocking on doors, talking to people. And 6 months later, I had no job. I was so discouraged. One night, right next to our apartment was this pond. And it was late at night, and I was out there, and I was throwing rocks into the pond as my stress release, I guess. And I was just mumbling to myself and talking to God and asking Him, why? Why? Don't understand what's going on. And I was reviewing my life, you know. To my knowledge, Lord, I'm not doing anything I shouldn't be doing. What's wrong? And just then my contemplation was broken as I look up into the night sky and I saw all those stars. It was so beautiful. It was a clear night. It was so pretty. And I was remembering some of the things I'd learned about stars. You know, there's constellations out there. And I remember my friend Jerry telling me that if you hold a grain of sand and you hold it against the night sky, that one portion of the sky that's covered has thousands of galaxies. In each galaxy, 200 billion stars. And as I'm contemplating all this, I thought to myself, wait a second, God can make all this. God can keep track of all this, and He can't find me a job. And I thought, you know what? The reason I don't have a job is because God doesn't want me to have a job. And so I thought about that, and I thought, well, Lord, maybe I'm praying for the wrong thing. And so that was my thought that night as I went to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, that thought returned, and then I thought to myself, well, God, if I'm praying for the wrong thing, then what should I pray for? Then that was my prayer. Well, anyway, I was vacuuming the house, which I did a lot of, because for 6 months I had no job. And I was vacuuming the house, and this thought came to my mind very clear. It said, pray for a temporary job. Okay, the reason why I hadn't prayed for a temporary job is because I didn't want one. That's why I hadn't prayed for one. I had gone to the temp agencies and I told them, unless you have a temp to perm, don't bother to call me. And they didn't. But then when that thought came to my mind, I said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want. And I knelt and I prayed. And I said, Father, if you want me to have a temporary job, let me have one. Well, later that afternoon, I got a phone call from guess who? The temp agency. And they had this job for me. They were offering me this job. It was this complicated job working at this parts company where I'm doing inventory, working on their computers, getting things straightened out. I have done none of that ever in my life. She's using terminology I don't even understand. So she's talking, I'm thinking to myself, this is easy, I'm going to tell her no. But then I remembered my prayer, and I thought, oh, Lord, I don't like this. And so the lady asked me, so will you take the job? And I put my hand over the receiver and I told her, yeah, wait one second. And I said, God, I don't know how to do this. I said, Lord, you put me into this mess, you take me out. So I told the woman, yes. Let me tell you, friends, it was a very tough assignment. And it was the best thing that could have happened to me. There was healing. There were things God was working on I didn't even think about. But God was bringing healing into my life. There was a lot of stuff in my life God had to fix. And He used this hard assignment to begin the process to get on that. Secondly, I was a new Christian. And in this workplace were Christians that were witnessing to me, that were encouraging my walk with Christ. And thirdly, it gave me opportunity to witness to other people. You know, friends, there are reasons why God overrules our plan with His plans. And let me say that most of the time, we're not going to understand God's plans. And many times, it won't be until we see Him face to face that we will understand. But that's okay. Because God, He is the one that is in charge. And He changed my prayer in an effort to align my will with His. And that's okay. The other reason why God often delays our prayers is to strengthen our faith. We are weak Christians often, and we need to be strengthened. And Jesus knows how to do that. We must show in our prayer life a firm, undeviating trust in God. Often Jesus delays to answer our prayers in order to try our faith or to test the genuineness of our desire. Having asked according to His will, we should believe His promise that He hears us and press our petition with a determination that will not be denied like the bee in our story. God does not say, ask once and you shall receive. He doesn't say that. He bids us to unwaveringly persist in prayer. The persistent asking does something in us. It brings the petitioner into a more earnest attitude and gives him an increased desire to receive the thing for which he asks. Is that true? Yeah, it is. I have two small children. One's big now. And you know, when they were little, they would ask for stuff at the store, toys, and so Dad would get it for them, because that's what good dads do, isn't it? So I gave them the stuff they wanted, and then when they took it home, they played for it for about 5 minutes, and then it was thrown in the toy box, they didn't think about it again, or they broke it, didn't take care of it. And I said to my wife, charity has come to an end. We're not doing this anymore. And so what we did is when our kids would come to us and say, Dad, I really like this. And I would say to them, hey, that's great. How much money you got? They say, we don't have any. We've got a problem. And so what we would do, Swell and I, is we would give them jobs, tasks at the house. We'd concoct something for them to do. And we made sure that whatever we came up with, it created this wet stuff here on the forehead. We made sure they worked really hard for whatever they got. And they did. We sent them out of the backyard. See all that brush, all that stuff? Yeah, clear it up. But, Dad, hey, you want the money? There it is. And so they'd go out there and go to work. And I discovered something very interesting. When we went to the store for them to, just cracked me up every time I think about it, to buy the stuff, they would pick it up. And now when they pick it up, they were like, and they put it back. And I said, hey, what's going on? I thought you were going to buy that. They said, the quality's cheap. It won't last. Really? Nope. And then when they did buy their stuff, they took good care of it. And you know what? We're no different than our kids. Oftentimes, we treat God like some giant vending machine. We make our request, we put in our quarters, pull the lever, and get what we want. And God isn't like that. God is very smart. And God loves us, and He cares for us. And He's working to build character fit for heaven. And the best way to do that is to make us wait for stuff often. So that is another reason to strengthen our faith, to build character within us, to help us to understand our Father better. and to appreciate the answers when they come. Amen? Very important. The third reason why our prayer is often delayed, brothers and sisters, is because there is a spiritual war going on. And it is every bit as real as the bombs going off in Iraq. There is a serious battle taking place in each of our lives. And when we go to our knees to pray, we set in motion things, a titanic struggle that we cannot even understand. But in the Bible, there are stories that briefly pull back the curtain to help us to understand these incredible battles that do take place. And in the story of Daniel, we find one of those incidences. Daniel has just received the vision of the 2300-day prophecy. He is overwhelmed as the angel Gabriel is giving him interpretation. And in his overwhelmed state, he passes out before Gabriel finishes giving him the explanation. Well, later when Daniel comes to, starts thinking about all this, and then he begins to pray for the angel to come back and finish the interpretation. Watch what happens when the angel finally shows up, because there was a delay in Daniel's prayer. Watch what the angel has to say. Daniel 10, 12 through 13, it says, "Then he, Gabriel, said to me, Daniel, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the what? First day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were what?'" Remember that, friends, when you pray, remember that from the first day, your prayers are heard too. Don't forget that. Anyway, let's continue. "And I, Gabriel, have come because of what? Your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," that's an interesting statement there, "withstood me," how long? 21 days. That's how long it took for Daniel to get his prayer answered. "And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." Reinforcements came. "For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." You see, part of Daniel's prayer had to do with the work that Gabriel had to do with the kings of Persia. But this being called the prince of the kingdom of Persia, you know who that is? The prince of darkness, friends, came to combat Daniel and the work Daniel was doing. And the spiritual warfare was taking place. And this was the reason for the delay in Daniel's prayer until Michael, Jesus, came to give reinforcement and break the thing loose. We have no idea what we set in motion when we pray. It's so important to understand this. The answer for Daniel did not come right away. But Daniel did not what? Quit. He did not give up. He persisted. He clung to the promise found in Jeremiah 33:3 that says, "Call to me and I will" what? "Answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." And God came through for Daniel, and God will come through for you too, my friend. Don't give up. I want to share with you a poem that has a great deal of meaning to me as we are wrapping this up. This poem came to me when I was not serving God. I was in high school, and a friend of mine gave it to me. I only learned years later, as I came to know my Heavenly Father, that this poem was given to me by my Savior to encourage me. Because in high school, I struggled with a great deal of discouragement as well as depression. And this poem carried me through. Many times I would read it during those dark days, and I want to read it to you now. It's one that I'm sure most of you know. It's entitled, "Don't Quit." When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and debts are high, when you want to smile but have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turned about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. Brothers and sisters, all who seek the Savior will find it. All who knock will have the door opened. All. The excuse will never be heard. Don't trouble me, the door is closed. I don't want to open it. Never will one be told, I cannot help you. Never. My friends, Jesus is coming soon. And He'll be coming for a group of people who knew how to persevere in prayer. My friends, never forget that God will help you. Only remember, don't quit. Don't give up. Persist. Keep praying.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.